What is equal access, and why does it matter to you as a Christian? Stay tuned.
That's attorney David Gibbs Jr., and this is the Legal Alert.
Allison called our offices at the Christian Law Association because their local public school allowed outsiders to rent out certain parts of their facilities, but was refusing her ministry access. The school administration was afraid of violating the, and I quote, separation of church and state. Our attorneys were able to assist Allison by informing the school administration about the Equal Access Act, and Allison was immediately granted access. Equal access means that religious groups have exactly the same right to government facilities as secular groups do. Let me repeat that. Religious groups have exactly the same rights to government facility use as secular groups do. The government cannot deny a group solely based on the fact that they are religious. This would constitute content-based discrimination. If you or your ministry has any similar situation, please call our lawyers at the Christian Law Association today.
Call 888-252-1969. That's 888-252-1969. Thanks for joining us today.
And we're sitting now at 8 minutes past 12 noon on our Thursday afternoon, the sixth day of August. And we've got Swap Shop coming around here in a few minutes with myself and Brother Roger Walton. And if you've got time to hang around, we'd love to have your company for the next little while. We'll chat a little bit about Governor Cooper's remarks yesterday and a couple of other things going on. And who knows what else we'll get into, but we'd love to have you hang around for it. Also, if you've got an item for Swap Shop, it's a free service. We'll announce your item for sale, trade, or if you're looking to buy something, or if you've got a lost and found pet or item, or a garage or yard sale in the works, we'll invite folks on your behalf. Also, businesses, if you have job openings, we'll put your help wanted info on Swap Shop. You can reach us here, 828-884-9427. You can email WGCR at iCloud.com, or you can use our website, which is WGCR.net. Taking us to Swap Shop time this afternoon, here's the Sisters and a song entitled Still I Will Praise You.
When the cares of life are just too much, and I have to drink a bitter cup, when I come to you with desperate cries, but it's only silence that replies. When the wilderness becomes your blame, and I reach but I don't feel your hand, when I think this night will never end, and the darkness is my only my soul a joyful song to sing, but you lead me into suffering, and my tears become my trust in you remains.
This is Roger Walton with a moment from our Christian musical heritage.
Seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners bleeding.
Harry Dixon Lowes is the writer of the music of this song, and Avis Christensen is the writer of the words. The title of this song was the title of a sermon that Mr. Lowes had heard. It inspired him to write a melody that he thought would fit such a title. He composed the tune and then sent it to Miss Christensen to write the words. The title of the sermon and the song? Blessed Redeemer. Up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save us from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree.
A Christian Musical Heritage Moment is a production of Anchor Broadcasting.
And with that familiar theme, it is Thursday. It is the 6th day of August. I'm Christy Johnson.
I'm Roger Walton.
And we welcome you to Swap Shop today.
And it's a Thursday, so we're almost through the work week.
I don't know. I'm still kind of looking. I'm looking for the pause button or the speed button. Again, I said I feel like a 33 record on the 78 speed. Is that right? Did I do it the right way?
Yeah. Life is kind of like when you're pulling your paper towel dispenser out. The closer to the end you get, the faster it goes.
How true is that? How true is that? Well, we trust and pray that everybody is enjoying a nice day. We got some showers on the way, about a 60% chance, and I guess that's we're kind of in the dog days. We've had a lot of dog days. We've had like the whole pound.
And the National Weather Service forecast seems to differ from all the other forecasts I'm looking at for Saturday, because I'm seeing 20% chance of rain and a pretty nice day.
Mm-hmm.
But the National Weather Service, as of last night when I was looking at it, was like a 60% chance of rain.
Let's go with everybody else. it's just kind of soggy. The ground is soupy, and not complaining at all. We were blessed that the rain came and left by church time last night. And my goodness gracious, Brother Stephen Fanning preached a message last night. Oh, great day. You need to go on Facebook and fit. If you haven't heard it, you need to go watch that. Hidden treasures or glorified mud balls, whichever one you want to. It was good. But the rain came and left, so we had nice weather for church last night. But some heavy downpours, some lightning. I don't know, recently, past week or so, we have had some lightning storms that just kind of make me hold my breath a little bit. But we'll wait and see what happens. Forecast right now is trying to get it to update for me, Brother Roger. And what I'm seeing from NOAA is about a 20% chance, but saying mostly sunny and kind of warm. Well, actually, 30% chance.
Okay, so they did change it.
Yeah, so it's moved down to a 30%.
It's the nicest. It'll be the nicest day of the weekend.
Yes, and we'll take it. And so if you've got something you've been wanting to do outside, Saturday is your day. And again, if you're going to be out for a while, grab the umbrella. Well, yesterday, Governor Cooper spoke at 4 o'clock, I believe it was. And Brother Rogers kind of got the 411 on that briefing.
Yeah, very little that I didn't expect, except for a couple of items that kind of snuck up on me there. The pause will continue, but he said the pause would continue for 5 weeks, which takes us to September the 11th. That's on a Friday this year. And during the questioning, someone asked why 5 weeks this time, and he had Dr. Cohen come up. Now, prior to that, he had made remarks about the only thing that's different is that schools will be reopening.
Mm-hmm.
And with schools reopening, more people are moving around, which causes the spread of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the colleges, he says, you know, that brings people in from out of state and out of country.
Mm.
So with that, they wanted to stay paused. She said because of the staggered school starts, they want a good ability to look at the numbers to see if we start shooting up for any reason. And because of the staggered start of all the colleges and schools, they want to go 5 weeks. So it was the DHHS that requested the 5 weeks.
Okay, so we're going to remain till the 11th of September in this paused phase, okay?
And what he has repeatedly said, and as he looks around, and I have to say, I understand when you're trying to make a decision, you look at the states around you that have opened up quick, and they're having 20 point something positive test rates, and we're fluctuating between 8 and 9%. We've had a couple of times we're at 7%. He said multiple times, I don't want to go backwards. I think he knows that in the states that's happened, that has been rough. So he was asked by a reporter, do you think we would ever be able to go into phase three before there's a vaccine? And he said he sure hopes so, if they could get the numbers. But here's what they're saying. We are stabilizing. If you listen to her, she'll say this gets a green check, or it gets a red X, or it gets a yellow line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all the four indicators are yellow lines.
Okay.
They said the problem is it's stabilizing too high.
Oh.
There's too many cases and things. So they want to bring this thousands of cases a day down, bring the percentage of positive down.
Yeah.
And if they could do that and schools open. And they had a map, and I can't find that map anywhere. But on prayer time, I brought up the governor's press conference video and paused it right on that map. And it was the schools in the 100 counties.
Mm-hmm.
And I counted them, and I could be off one or two, but I counted 48 school systems or counties that their school systems are on Plan B, which would leave 52 on Plan C. So almost half, if I miscounted by one. It's about a 50-50 across the state.
Yeah.
Plan C, but a lot of, like, they had Henderson County in Plan C, but a lot of them are going into Plan C 4, 6 weeks, 9 weeks, then they're going to reassess.
Right.
So, yeah, that is really the new stuff that came out of that. Everything else, he did have some things to say about the hurricane, which we'll get to when we're done with this, because there's some really bad, for it being a small, you can't go with tropical storm, and you can never go by category one and think it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Bertke County, there is a mobile home park that's leveled, and there's only four mobile homes standing, and two died in there.
Wow.
And in Brunswick County, where there were four house fires, this morning there were more house fires, and that's where it hit, Ocean Isles. So the storm surge there in Brunswick County was tremendous. So, yeah, we dodged a bullet going east or west, but in that general area in there that has had how many hurricanes in the last, you know, they're still reeling from Florence.
Mm-hmm. They really are. Well, you know, as Isaias came across the areas, say, Puerto Rico, that neck of the country, they were saying that there were still some homes or businesses that still had tarps for their roof from the storms that rolled in there, what, a year or so ago. We'll talk more about the damage with Isaias, and I'm still, if I'm saying that right, but the storm, we'll talk about that. I did write down a question here. I wanted to see in the conversations yesterday, whether in just their general comments or in questions, did they talk about the availability of testing and the delay in testing results coming back?
They did. And she said that LabCorp, which is the biggest and the one in North Carolina, has cleared its backlog. The smaller ones that are getting inundated and having trouble getting the chemicals they need to test it is the problem. So they are trying to, and it's a nationwide thing. There's so many tests being done nationwide that there is a shortage in this particular test. And she has said many times, we need help from the federal government to get more of this, and we need a different kind of test that uses different chemicals. So that's the issue there. But the big one, LabCorp, she said, did clear its backlog. She said most now are running 3 to 4 days.
That's an improvement.
That was as of Yeah, that's as of yesterday.
Okay. So, and I'm going to give just kind of a overview of phase two, and please correct me or add to. From what I took an article this morning says, as part of staying in phase two, bars, nightclubs, indoor gyms, and public playgrounds will stay closed, along with entertainment venues such as movie theaters, bowling alleys, amusement parks, arcades, and skating rinks. Restaurants will also continue to operate at a 50% capacity. Indoor gatherings can be up to 10 people, outdoor up to 25. And then they added that state officials say about 50% of K-12 schools in the state will be reopening at limited capacity, which is what you stated just previously. So is that all accurate?
That's accurate. Plus, he added a couple weeks ago closing the bars down at 11, saying that many times restaurants would then turn into that.
Yeah.
And he mentioned it again yesterday that the governor of Texas said the one thing he would go back and change is he would not have opened that because it just is conducive to close proximity. And I saw an article where Buncombe County, I think it was Buncombe County, is looking at 9 o'clock.
Yes. I didn't read the article, but I saw the headline. And so that was yesterday. And the North Carolina High School Athletic Association made a statement this morning. They released a press release following Governor Cooper's press briefing yesterday. And what they've said that the sports for the 2021 school year will be delayed beyond September 1st, which was their original date. They say that they will review all available options. They will seek input from folks in various fields, and they will announce a calendar for playing sports during the upcoming year. They hope to release or make the announcement prior to August 17th. But they say that it, you know, they had hoped to get things started the 1st of September, but that is not going to be the case. So I know there's a lot of teams that, you know, have been given clearance to practice, and they recently entered a new phase which allowed them to use equipment such as footballs for football practice, etc. So we'll wait and see what their announcement is, but they, again, were hoping to make the announcement prior to August 17th.
Yeah, a lot of course, you know, like we saw in the story in the Asheville area where there was the COVID and they had to shut down some sports for a while. Yeah. So it's just one of those things that this is what we call a fluid situation. Mm-hmm. It is ever changing. And you just have to, when I talked with my doctor about it, and they, not only does he now wear a mask, but what was different this time from 6 weeks ago when I saw him, he's wearing a face shield. Mm. Because, you know, he's seeing some of the sickest of sickest patients. He's got cancer patients.
Yeah.
And so that whole clinic, and the nurse, she had goggles on. Mm-hmm. And that, she said, this is a new requirement for us. We wear these goggles. By the way, she said that she takes some tissue and rolls it up underneath that goggle and then puts the mask thing to clamp it down, and that has stopped the fogging of her goggles.
Well, that would be good. I'm still battling my glasses fogging up. I'm trying different things. And, you know, I gave that handy tip. I thought it was going to be great of washing your glasses in soapy water and then putting them on, you know, of course, drying them off, and that washing process would limit it fogging up. So far, it hasn't been helpful. So when I see anybody, sometimes I have to actually take my glasses off or raise them up or adjust the bottom of my mask for a moment so that, you know, my breath can go downward and not up into my glasses. So if I'm still looking, if anyone has found a good way to keep your glasses from fogging up, I would be most thankful to hear it. Saw in the news again one other COVID-related thing, and then we'll talk about the damage from the storm. The Centers for Disease Control says that more and more people are swallowing hand sanitizer. I know we've talked about this this week.
Wow.
I know. And they say they really don't know why. Four people have died, and there have been several others that have been hospitalized. And they just want to remind the public that hand sanitizer is useful for cleaning your hands, but it is not safe to swallow. Again, they're not sure why people are doing it. They say now children, you know, curiosity, like a two-year-old, we have a two-year-old grandson, and everything goes in his mouth for a moment. But so they say, you know, that's possible with young children, but otherwise they just don't know. So whatever you do, please don't ingest hand sanitizer. It can be fatal.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll turn the page, Brother Roger, and talk about storm damage.
Well, in Berkeley County, they have now confirmed that it was an EF3 tornado.
Wow.
When that is, they said they reached the winds of 140 to 145 miles per hour. That's according to the Weather Service. And so it destroyed seven single wide mobile homes and stick built houses. And I hope it hasn't gone up. I know there were a lot injured. Two people, okay, still showing two people died. 14 others were injured. The sheriff's office said 10 were rescued. For a while there, they were actually searching for people in the rubble.
Wow.
And so it was pretty bad. And this is one of the more of the inland counties, whereas Brunswick County is right in the southeast corner on the ocean where it took the direct hit. There, the damage, as I said, was from the shoreline where the storm surge came up and in at high tide, and came up into areas. And I know that it's kind of funny because we finally were able to get hold of Luke. Mm-hmm. And whereas he slept through Irma, he said he was wide awake for this one. He said the power went out and the wind was roaring. And he said, I was just, and Irma went right over the top of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this one did. I said, well, I guess you learned the lesson that you stay awake when a storm is coming.
Big difference when you're on your own facing the storm. Did you see, I saw a headline and I meant to go back and grab a few more details, but I saw where two people were struck by lightning and killed while searching through debris from the storm.
I remember something I like that. Yes.
And I will say that Hearts with Hands here in Western North Carolina, they have deployed or are in the process of deploying goods, and they said they would be down there for several weeks. So I would just put the word out that, folks, if you'd like to help those that have been impacted by this, and as Brother Roger was just detailing, just a few mobile homes remain in a rather large mobile home park that took pretty much the brunt of the storm as it came through, EF3 tornado. And so if you'd like to help Hearts with Hands, you can contact them, and they can give you drop-off locations. I was trying to find those earlier. I didn't see any, but I know they are working on relief.
It was Wilmington area.
Okay.
Two men were trying to cut down trees when they were struck by lightning, and they both died. It happened at 1149 in Wilmington near Bradley Creek.
Mm. Yeah. So praying for all the families affected, praying for all those that lost loved ones. There are others that are injured, and countless folks are having to find shelter. And I know shelters are open, but that's kind of complicated with all the COVID stuff too. So please pray. I know the Red Cross is there on hand trying to help. And as we mentioned, Hearts with Hands are there as well. So thankful for that outreach. And if you'd like to help with their relief, I know they would appreciate it.
Well, just to change gears for a minute, since we're talking about back to school.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend in South Carolina, you know, for people like me, who, if I was well, could go down the mountain.
Right.
It's tax-free weekend. So you're looking at things like briefcase wallets, things like that, they're exempt, are not exempt. You can't get those. But things like art supplies for school, athletic uniforms, backpacks, bedding, blankets, coats, jackets, clothes, computers.
Yeah.
You think about the sales tax you save on if you needed a computer or anything like that. And on it goes. There's a whole lot. But I don't know if it's Tennessee or South Carolina. I read so much news in a day that if I don't remind myself, but one of the two states is having, I think it's South Carolina, it for two different weekends.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that. And I was kind of, you know, I really hate that North Carolina did away with that. And I'm sure there's reasons and that's well and good, but I do miss it. Some may say, well, it's not that much. Well, every little bit helps, especially if you've got, you know, multiple children that you're trying to get their supplies for. And I want to just put a word out to families, Brother Roger, that even though school's kind of maybe looking a little bit different, it's still important that you communicate with your child's teacher or the school system that your child is enrolled in to make sure that they're going to have the proper supplies that they need, whether they're in school a couple of days a week or it's all online learning. The schools or the teachers, they'll have the list that you need. So please be sure, you know, to communicate with them and make sure that you're getting the right things. And I don't know. I didn't see them yesterday when I went into a local store for something. But used to, they would have all of the supply lists from all the schools in the area or even in the county. So, but just check it out. And we also want to remind folks, tomorrow, Brother Roger, you and I are giving away a bunch of stuff. And you've got till tomorrow at noon to get your kindergarten through 12th grader registered. It's about $100 value each gift. There's a $50 Visa gift card, a brand new Bible, various kind of generic school supplies, got some candy in there, and then along with a WGCR t-shirt and some other goodies. So again, about $100 value for each package. And we're going to give away five young men and five young ladies. They're going to get the package. And that's registering online at WGCR.net. And we don't want to leave anyone out. And so this is good for if you're listening in the continental United States and we can get a priority box to you from North Carolina, we're happy. We're going to be mailing them to everybody, so we'll ship it to you. So our internet listeners, those on the app, please get involved in this. Doesn't take long to register. And if you don't have access to the web, call us and we'll take the information down and then we'll in turn log on and enter it for you. So kindergarten through 12th grader, no matter what school, any kind of a mixture of a school, as long as it's kindergarten through 12th grade, you are eligible.
As long as we're in school mode.
Yes.
And you love Krispy Kreme.
I do.
Okay. Krispy Kreme. Good teachers make learning sweet. Inspiring Krispy Kreme to treat educators for free food next week.
Well,
the upcoming school year may be unlike any other. You got that right.
Yeah.
From August the 10th to the 14th, Krispy Kreme is saying thanks with Educator Appreciation Week by offering one free original glazed donut and a regular size drip coffee to teachers who show a school employee badge in stores or at drive-thru.
What a blessing. So did I write those down August 10th through the 14th?
That's correct.
All right, so teachers, take your school ID, your employee ID, go by, and it's a donut and a coffee, if I understood correctly.
That's what it says.
So salutes to Krispy Kreme. Yeah, I had to go to Hendersonville yesterday. I was looking for something, and I swung in and had to get I got a dozen to gift some folks with, and one dozen might have been missing one. I'm not really sure. Maybe. It's okay. I don't know what happened to that one. So Krispy Kreme, one around here. There's one in Asheville on Patton Avenue. And then there's one in Hendersonville on, is that Four Seasons Boulevard?
Four Seasons Boulevard, okay. Or 64, whatever yeah. you want to look at it.
Okay, and that's the two that I know of that are in standalone locations. But I think it's the you said that it was good in-store, or can you repeat?
Or drive-in.
Okay,
drive-through.
Okay, drive-through. Okay. And a lot of their lobbies or their in-dining is not open, so drive-through is probably the best way. But again, 10th through the 14th, you get a free donut and a coffee. And we want to remind you again, get your kindergarten through 12th grader registered, because tomorrow at noon, registrations will end. And then Brother Roger and I will look forward to giving all that away tomorrow. It'll be a fun day. Fun
yeah,
day.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we love giving away stuff. And again, we're going to mail it to you. So we will, the contact phone number that you include when you register, that number we'll use to call you after Swap Shop tomorrow afternoon. And we'll get the details from you about how to mail it to you, and also get the t-shirt size. And then, Lord willing, either tomorrow afternoon or Monday, all of the boxes, our goal is to get them to you as soon as possible. Another quick thing I saw, that Aldi, you know, there was talk, sometime back about several new businesses coming to Brevard. Cookout was one of them, and Cookout is up and running now. And then, there's a new little complex right by Bojangles. So that's been just a plethora of activity there with construction. Well, the old Mr. Pete's, I think is what it was called there, that sits kind of between Zaxby's and, right in that neck of the woods, Zaxby's, McDonald's, and the Jiffy Lube right there. Aldi was said that they were going to put an Aldi grocery store on that location. Well, I hadn't heard anything. And I saw today that they have submitted new permits for construction for the Aldi grocery store. And it will have just over 19,000 square foot building, with 95 parking spaces and 4 handicap spaces. So they're going to make the best use of that 3.5 acres there, or a little over 3 acres rather. So that didn't say when it would open. I didn't see that. But there is movement again as far as getting an Aldi in Brevard.
Oh, there you go.
All right, Brother Roger, have you looked at I-26?
Everything was good at the beginning of Swap Shop. Let's see if that changed. Of course it did. But it's nothing like it was this morning in that same area. It was a total standstill all the way back to the airport for a couple hours. So that was an accident there that took a while. But this is a pretty good slowdown from just before the French Broad River going up towards Asheville to Brevard Road. I'm going to guess 30, 35 mile an hour through there at this point.
Yeah. And so a little bit of a slowdown. So if you want to grab 25 or 191 or just ride it out, sometimes it can clear up as quick as it shut down or slowed down. So just a heads up there. Well, we'll go ahead and jump into our Swap Shop items for this Thursday. Would say
just real quick. Sure. I have a really unique story out of Pensacola, Florida.
Sure.
That, caught my attention. You know, when I was a boy, I had an imagination, and I had superheroes that I named them, and they all had different powers. And I was, well, there was a 9-year-old boy in Pensacola who always in his head was thinking of how to save people in water in serious situations. So he said when he was diving with anybody, if they didn't come up in a certain amount of time, he would go after them. Well, he never dreamed that the person that he would be going after would be his dad.
What?
And it says he got him up, but he was on his stomach. And we're talking about a 9-year-old boy that weighs 100 pounds less than the dad.
Mm.
And he said somehow he got superhuman strength and was able to flip him over so he wouldn't drown, and then bring him in. And he is being hailed a hero. The father fractured his neck in a diving accident.
Oh my goodness. His son saved his life.
Yeah. And it says that he actually, it took him a long time. He just tugged until bystanders came along and saw him and helped. So he was further away than I guess he thought he was. But mm-hmm. whatever he prayed in his brain, he played it out. And I read that the first time, I just cried.
Yeah, that gets you. Well, thank God for an alert young man that took care. Wow. And he's being, as you said, hailed a hero, and rightfully so. He deserves those accolades for sure. And I'm thankful that he got his dad, with the help of bystanders, got him to shore. Well, God bless you, son.
Amen.
My good. Yeah, that's those good stories. You of course hate that the father had the problem and injury, but thankful that the outcome was no worse than it was.
Amen.
Well, continue to pray for Pastor Barton recovering. He's doing, as well as can be expected at this point. It's just kind of a lengthy process, but he appreciates everybody's prayers and others that have undergone surgery and battling health issues, and pray for the family of Brother Allen, Dr. Sammy Allen, visitation today, funeral tomorrow. And I know a lot of folks will be making their way to Resaca, Georgia, or the Fairmont, Georgia, I guess, is the exact town that Concord Baptist Church is located. But pray for traveling safety for all those, and for the Lord to just help today and tomorrow. I think it's like 4 to 10 today, if I remember
correct.
It. Yeah,
that's correct.
A lengthy.
And 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, 2 o'clock tomorrow. And appreciate folks praying for Joanna, our daughter. She is in surgery right now. Went in somewhere, the best we can tell, between 10:45 and 11 o'clock, somewhere in that neighborhood, and about a six-hour surgery. And so we will continue to pray and trust the Lord. He answered several requests early this morning in it all, and so have no need to doubt that he's going to take care of things, but I appreciate Amen. Folks praying. Well, it's Swap Shop time for our items. 828-884-9427 is the number to call.
And someone's in search of a lady's bicycle, cheap or free. They want to start riding with their granddaughter. They said they've never ridden a bike with handbrakes, but could learn. The number there is 279-5950, 279-5950.
Looking for, or rather needing, a burning barrel. 388-3974, 388-3974.
A 1984 Cutlass Supreme automobile, four-door, and also an antique maple pipe organ. Call for pricing. It's at 877-4857, 877-4857.
A 5,000 BTU window AC unit, used very little, runs on 110. They're asking $45. 553-6241, 553-6241.
2 gallons of figs, ready to be put up, $15 per gallon, can be picked up in the Etowah area. 243-0611, 243-0611.
And someone is looking for canning jars. Again, search of canning jars, 226-1134, 226-1134. And I believe that's our items for today. Got quite a few folks having birthdays, so we'll get into that. And then look forward to hearing from Brother Roger for our devotion today. Birthday wishes on this 6th day of August going out to Mr. Robert Wolf.
Happy birthday.
Mrs. Mary Brown.
Happy birthday.
Chloe Bryant.
And happy birthday.
Jill Whitlock.
Happy birthday.
Brother George Rush.
Oh, goodness. Happy birthday.
And then Abigail Williams is 2 today.
Well, how about that? That's a fun age. Happy birthday.
We wish each one, God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful birthday. And then anniversary wishes today going out to Patrick and Michelle Owen. They have been married 26 years today.
Amen. Congratulations. Happy anniversary.
God bless each one that's celebrating on the 6th day of August. And if there's someone you know having a birthday or wedding anniversary and we missed it, please let us know. 828-884-9427 is how you can call us, or you can text us at 828-577-1296. All right, Brother Roger, looking forward to what you have for us today.
Well, we've been talking about promises. So today and tomorrow, we're going to end the week with a promise yet to be fulfilled. So today I want to talk about a changed address.
Amen.
And tomorrow I'm going to talk about a changed attire.
Ooh, like that both.
Yeah, we're talking about a changed address today. The Bible says we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, the tent that we live in, this temporary address, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Well, when we jump over to Jesus is talking, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he talks about the place. In my Father's house, place where God resides.
Yeah.
That's what that word means.
Amen.
Where God is, that's where the mansions are. Now, the word building was called an edifice. That Greek word is an edifice, an edification. So this place that he's going to let us live in is going to be an edifying place. But the word mansion, it has a unique twist to it that gets lost sometimes. Let's put it this way. You go to the Biltmore house and you get to walk through it, but you don't get to live there and you don't get to stay there. But in one of the root words of this word mansion is abiding, dwelling, staying. It's not just a beautiful mansion. You get to live there. It's your place. You get to be in it, and no one's going to ever take it away. So he gave us the place. He said, if that were not so, I would have told you. Now, we see the preparation. I go to prepare a place for you. Build my mansion next door to Jesus is not biblical because it's built. The word prepare means to make ready.
Yeah.
Like when we were going to have company, we had to get the house ready for company. So Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's a personal place. Jesus is personally getting my place ready. And when it's ready, he's coming to get me, because we see the promise when he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
A man was distraught, and he left the city at record pace into the country, got out of his car, mad at the world, walked up in the woods on a little rundown shack. The windows were hanging out. The girl was playing with a doll that had one eye and arms missing. And he said, boy, I hate to see you living like this. And kind of talked to her a little bit about how bad he felt. And she said, mister, don't worry about that. My dad just came into a lot of money. And just over that hill, he's building us a mansion. And this was my grandma's favorite song, and it was sung at her funeral. I'm glad I've got a mansion. It's not just over the hilltop. It's in another world.
Amen.
Where God lives.
Amen. We'll see you tomorrow, Brother Roger.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. A little silver and a little gold, but in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold mine, that silver. Are purest gold.
sun.